Welcome to the Klamath Tribes podcast, the 51st episode, as we talk today on a very critical matter and issue, water rights and allocation of water from the Upper Klamath Lake, which was increased to 38,000 additional acre feet of water, which is 12.4 billion gallons above what they allocated earlier in the season. And who better to talk about it than Chairman William Ray Jr.? Thank you for coming here.
Thank you for having us.
And Marvin Garcia, Vice Chairman of the Klamath Tribes. It's a passionate topic. We've been discussing it in depth for a week. I'll let you, Chairman, start.
Well, when you talk about passion, we've been talking about our water and our treaty rights since time immemorial, and especially with the Treaty of 1864. And our ancestors laid the groundwork to have them always remembered, honored, and upheld. And that's our responsibility right now, what we're doing with our water rights, with pressing the issue of opposing this action by the Bureau of Reclamation over and above the project allocation, as we see it, that was agreed to in the Project Operations Environmental Assessment. And when you think about the project irrigators receiving 98 billion gallons of water, that's a lot of water. And so here again, we see that we need to protect our water rights and our fisheries and all of the aquatic species of plants that we rely on to support our culture.
And the Bureau of Reclamation, Alan Heck, the director?
Area manager.
Area manager joined us at the auditorium. And when he was talking, he said, you know, the waters, Vice Chairman Garcia asked what was the need of the water, and he mentioned alfalfa sprouts, onions, corn. And you asked him, well, what about the need of the Chuam and Coptu suckers?
Right.
So the trade-off was the alfalfa sprouts and the agricultural products were more important than the fish, it seemed to come out.
He didn't take fish into account on all of his discussion. It was all based upon what was needed by the farmers.
That's been the ongoing problem, right? Priority has gone to the farmers.
Over our rights that we didn't grant. We didn't grant anything to go over our water rights. No one asked us to grant anything. They're taking our rights, and that's where we're pushing back on. Because they're not granted it. They didn't ask the tribe for any of this. They just took it. And that was the point that we made on September 10th with hand delivering this opposition letter to area manager Alan Heck.
This is an ongoing annual issue. The water allocation seemed to increase, even though he said also that the level was 41 feet at the Upper Klamath Lake, I recall, which he said is above average because of the precipitation we had over the spring. Do you accept that?
No. Well, how can we? Because the lake has changed. And I've said this before, living along Agency Lake all my life. In 1959, when my parents had the first sump for their irrigation for their farmland, the water table, the lake level, was at Modoc Point Highway, right along that highway. And in 69, it receded back almost 60 feet. And then from there, it's another 150 feet from the sump that was put in 1969. So you're looking at well over 200 feet from where it used to be at in 59. And now it keeps receding. You just can't do that to a body of water and expect it to help itself, because it's there's no way for it to clean itself because there's no plants or anything, no wetlands. And that's what helps with the water quality.
Speaking of water quality, before we started talking, Vice Chair Garcia, you mentioned in 68, 69, you were swimming in the lake. It was clear. There was never cloudy. There was never algae problems.
Right.
What was it like then?
There was a lot of peace. You know, it was a peaceful ride to go by the lake. When you look at the lake, you know, you let the lake speak to you spiritually And so you got a lot of direction. And if you had, you know, something you're thinking about, something you had to deal with, you get your answer by just looking at the lake. You let the lake speak to you in a spiritual manner.
I can't imagine the lake being like that because it's so polluted and cloudy. And to be like, that's the way it should be. And can you imagine if it was like that today, it would be a completely different ecosystem surrounding it. And also economically, things would be different. And just culturally, things would be different. And there would be a fish population that wasn't threatened that Chuam and Kopto.
Well, and along with this simple fact, at one time, this used to be a Pacific flyway of close to 10 million birds. And then you add in the Upper Klamath Marsh, it had 10,000 acres of Wokas, which was open water. So when you take all that away, you're going to adversely affect the watershed. And it's proven in the record in 1981 when the Lane and Lane did the commission by the Bureau of Indian Affairs to look at the Kopko dams and the climatized fisheries. And it's very evident about how the adverse effects started in the late 1800s to our watershed, and it hasn't stopped. It's just gotten worse and worse and worse, and no different than the argument that we made on September 10th. Why not leave the water in the system? You already got 290,000 acre feet or close to 97 billion gallons of water. Why not leave it there for all the species to heal and everything, because there's no guarantee that we're going to have another winter like we had this past winter.
What was the reply?
Not much. No, the reply was, I'll back up for a minute. The reply was that we looked at the impact and it's a good risk to give, to take the water.
Risk. It's been the risk over decades that's put us in this bad situation.
It's not been on behalf of looking at the impacts and the risk to the Chuam and Kopto or the salmon.
The whole ecosystem is a complete catastrophe right now.
Collapsing.
Complete collapse. And you have this sense of urgency that I have never seen before.
Because you're taking away our culture.
You say that this is really close to the extinction of the Chuam and Kopto, the endemic fish that is culturally important to the tribes, and also indicative of the health of the ecosystem. As I said the other day, it's like the canary in the coal mine, but in this case, it's the fish in the lake.
Well, you hit it on the head. I mean, we can't say it anymore about the importance of all these species that our culture relied on, from cultural, spiritual, medicinal, subsistence. They all had meaning. They even... if you go to that Lane Lane report, we were just reading it today in Tribal Council, that in 1826, when Peter Skeen Ogden come through and didn't have anything to eat, he bought salmon from the Klamas Indians to survive. So if that isn't important and that they were here, then your own records attest to be that you're saying are false, those people that came through our territory in the early 1800s.
It's the largest surface body of water west of the Mississippi, but I would say most of the nation doesn't realize it's a ecological catastrophe on the verge of collapse or collapsing, and that it was once a beautiful, thriving, clean lake, and now it's a toxic lake that really, if it has any chance of recovery, it's got to be an extreme movement. So what's the movement of the tribes at this point?
Well, the movement is to have pressing it from a legal, political, community, ally support, press helping us, the other tribes in America through Affiliated Tribes of Northwest Indians and National Congress American Indians. We're going to be on all fronts pressing the issue, along with making trips, as the General Counsel indicated on August 9th, that we need to get back to Washington, D.C. and start in on our own lobby and telling our side of the story.
Yeah, the side of the story of a lake that should be pristine and beautiful and has been just demolished of all of its ecological integrity.
And it was beautiful. My 88-year-old parents know how well it was at one time. And even myself with my relatives, the Lotches and Whitcraft, we was always out there on our homemade rafts and so forth, doing our cultural things. So here again, the lake has changed immensely in one lifetime, generation.
Yeah, the Tuamotu copped to in the millions in the early 70s. Now you said 5,000 were at Barkley Springs?
Or less.
And you mentioned Barkley Springs, why?
Well, I'll let the vice chair tell the story.
You know, back in the ancient times when there was a tribe of band of Klamaths that lived there. There's different bands of Klamaths. They didn't all live together in one spot. When one band lived at Barkley Springs, there was a giant serpent that lived up on top of the mountain there at Barkley Springs. And he'd come down and he'd eat the tribal members. And it got to the point to where the warrior says, you know, we're going to have to do something about this, because if he keeps down here and consuming us, we're not going to exist anymore. We're going to have to go and kill him. And so they got together and they walking up the side of the mountain, and the creator stopped them when they got up towards the top of the mountain. He says, you can't kill him. He's too strong for you, so I will do it for you. And so the creator went up on top of the mountain, found a serpent, and he beheaded him, killed him. He picked up his body, and he threw it off the top of the mountain into the lake. When his body hit the lake, the scales came off, and they turned into the fish. And that's where the fish came from. And so when we look at the suckerfish, the significance of them, they're the people. And they're put back into the lake to help the people survive. So you're helping, you have a nation of people that's helping themselves be healed. And that was all done by the Creator for them. And so that's why Barkley Springs is important, because that's where they were created at. And that's where they thrived at. And you know, there's a lot more to the story. I mean, when we tell our stories, they're more compassionate. They're more real. I just summarized it for you.
The other piece about those fish and why they're such a healing property, because they were medicinal. There was a lot of old people that used those Tuam and Koptu and the other species of mullet for that medicinal, to heal them. They knew places where they had to go to fish them to get those, to make fish head soup, and you drink and eat everything.
What was the remedy for?
All kinds of ailments.
Really?
But they're medicinal. That's the point.
Yeah.
And here again, they're much more than just subsistence. That's what the missing the point here. That's why we're not as healthy as we could be, because it pecks away at the viability of the Klamath, Modoc, and Yuskin cultures. We got to have these back, these resources, because if you think about it, 1909, we haven't been able to fish our salmon, and they're right down 40 miles from here, and we're going to do something about it. We're going to get them back up here. That's what we need to be doing. 1986, when the General Council decided at great lengths, emotional, to have to stop fishing our fish, our Tuam and Koptu, that had an impact. So we had a lot of things happen to us, and now we're looking at a degradation that is decade after decade after decade, and then you add in the water rights, that we're going into six decades of trying to adjudicate our water with no end in sight. So here again, it seems like a lot of things working against us, and that's why we got to all pull together and have a rallying call to for our fisheries and for our world and for our water.
It's a symbol not only of this area, but the world. Are we going to let a species like the suckerfish that's endemic to a lake go extinct? Because why? We want alfalfa sprouts?
I think we need to understand that, you know, when we look at it spiritually, the lake is alive. It's not just a body of water. It has life to it. Through other parts of Indian country in the United States, the water flows through their lands. In the Klamath country, it comes right out of the ground right here. That's where it starts at. It doesn't flow through our land. It comes out of the ground right here. The water is a powerful medicine. And so when we have the fish in the water, the fish supplied medicinal purposes to the people. Food is medicine. I don't care what you say. Food is medicine. There's bad medicine, there's good medicine. But food is a medicine because it nourishes your body. Well, that's what it did for the people, the fish. But then again, it helped the lake heal too. It kept the lake healthy by the ingredients. They just didn't stumble around, do nothing. You know, they ate, they had to eat, they had to survive. So the lake supplied food for the fish, the food provided a cleansing for the lake, because they're both alive. When you look at it spiritually, and I know it's hard for people to see things spiritually, but they're alive. And the water is a powerful medicine. It is a medicine. It's not a substance. You can go in a store and buy it in bottled water now, but when you look at it, it's a medicine. It does something to your body. If you drink water, it cleans your body. It has more than just a substance. It's more than just for watering your plants or your crops. It has a higher demand for it because it's alive. It has life. Because if it was dead, it wouldn't be able to produce life. So that's what we need to understand, is that the water is alive. The fish are alive. And we all depend on them, the three of us. We all depend on each other to be who we are, the way we were created to. Everything that's in this country that was created for the people here. They had no need. They didn't have to go anywhere else to search for things, berries, roots, elk, deer, whatever they had, whatever they needed. The fish was a primary substance for people because it provided that healing. You go over to the health department now and talk to them about what is the condition of the people. The people are not, they're not well. There's a high rate of diabetes. But if you take away a subsistence from them that's necessary, it's going to have an effect upon them. It'd be like I telling you, you can't have vitamin C no more. There's no, you're not allowed to have vitamin C. There's no more vitamin C in your body. Nothing. You can't have it no more. Would it affect your body? Well, yeah, it would. So when you take the fish away from the diet, from the people, it affects the body. It affects the people. It affects you spirit, soul, and body. Because now you're not a healthy being. And when you're not well, it starts spiritually first. Then it goes into the soul, which is your mind, and then it goes into your body where it manifests itself. So we need to look at things. What is life? Water is life.
Is there anything you'd like to say in closing, Chairman?
I think what I'd like to say is that we need to come together as a tribal First Nation and start in on the fight to protect what we got left and try to save our fisheries. And I'm talking about all the fisheries from any further degradation and from extinction. And here again, when we think about it, there's documentation of families before 1909 when the dams were put in that half their diet was all salmon. So how could they be unhealthy? So it's kind of interesting to hear about making America healthy again, the new slogan, when you take away all of our sacred foods that we have out in our grocery store, how can we be healthy? When you take away protein of fish and our deer are in a 5-decade low, now what are we going to rely on for our subsistence? So we're in a tough spot, and that's why we're going to have to get together, come together. That's why tomorrow is so important and I encourage all the tribal members to come so we can hear and present and hear our strategies and how we're going to try to fight this together. And Sepkecha, Samaks.
Thank you, gentlemen. Chairman, William Ray Jr. and Vice Chairman Marvin Garcia from the Klamath Tribes. Tomorrow's the general council that you were referencing. And we will continue. The fight continues, and hopefully we prevail.